Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fence Out Here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat NFL. Paul is fanatic underscore pick on Twitter. Continuing our breakdown, heading into the NFL draft, we're really getting into crunch time here. Taking a look at the off-ball linebackers, it's a position the Dolphins are in very good shape in heading into the season. I mean, they could legitimately take this roster as it stands right now and go into the season with it. I mean, at the inside linebacker spot, you've got Raekwon McMillan and Jerome Baker. They signed Kemu Grugier-Hill as well as Alandon Roberts in the offseason. And then somewhere between the edge and off-ball linebacker, you've also got Vince Beagle, Andrew Van Ginkel, and Trent Harris in there as well. So, yeah, a pretty stacked depth chart right there, especially depth-wise, Paul. But you do have three clear-cut first-round prospects right now: Isaiah Simmons, Patrick Queen, and Kenneth Murray. So, Paul, my big question to you is, you know, you're somebody that's very open-minded to not taking a quarterback there at five. If that's the case, is Clemson linebacker Isaiah Simmons somebody you would consider?
I love Isaiah Simmons. I love his skill set. I love his ability on the field. I think he's going to turn into one hell of a player, possibly a perennial Pro Bowler. But there's a but. One of the best things that could happen to Miami, if they are not going quarterback at five, and if they do not manage to trade up for Joe Burrow, if the rumors that we're hearing hold true, Isaiah Simmons being available means Miami could be able to swing a trade that allows them to fall back a couple of spots and still take a top offensive tackle, much to a few people's chagrin. But still take a top offensive tackle in the top 10 and accumulate possibly even another day one or day two pick in this very draft or next year's draft to be able to go after the quarterback next year if they determine that that's what they want to do. So Isaiah Simmons could be that move piece that lets them do that. They've got a lot of talent at the position. I think there's some great safeties in this draft, so you can still fill that need. And I'm sorry, the linebacker spot is very thick, so it'd be very hard for me to justify a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time justifying a lot of putting a linebacker in a lot of these spots here. I mean, yeah, Isaiah Simmons on the consensus board, the combination of 11 different top draft picks, he is the fourth player in the entire draft behind Joe Burrow, Chase Young, and Jeffrey Okuda. So he's somebody thought very, very highly of. I mean, his workout numbers were just flat out incredible. I mean, at 6'4", 238 pounds, he runs a 4.39, 39-inch vert, 132 in the broad jump. His wingspan is almost 82, which is just insane. So athletically, he's a phenomenal player, and he also obviously played very well last year too. 8 sacks, over 100 tackles, 16 and a half tackles for loss. My question with him is, he's a guy without a position, and a lot of people say, well, you know, you could put him at slot cornerback. You can put him at free safety. And you could put him, I'm like, yeah, but is he going to be great there? Is he going to justify that top four pick? That's why on my overall Dolphins board, I've got him 15th. Some, partially because of the lack of need at inside linebacker, and partially because, you know, he seems like a guy without a position.
See, I do see the allure of an Isaiah Simmons based on how Flores likes to do things on defense. I know we beat that horse, so I'm not going to, you know, throw it out there again. But Flores likes multi-positional players with positional versatility. He likes football players that he can move around the defense. And that's where I could see Isaiah Simmons being a fit. But I just think there are higher priorities, and it may be a case of passing up a great player to have a better team. And I think that's what we may see here. Just like if Jeff Okuda, who I know we're going to talk about in our next episode, if Jeff Okuda happens to slide to five, again, that's a great opportunity to drop back a little bit and accumulate some picks if you're not going after that quarterback position.
Yeah, if it's a situation where, for me at least, and what I think that could occur with the Dolphins is, say you get leapfrogged for Tua, or that you've completely taken him off your board with the medicals, I would hope that they, sure, drop down a couple spots and not take Justin Herbert. But we could go on and on. That's my favorite thing about the draft being, at the time of this recording, a week and a half away. I don't have to talk about Justin Herbert anymore. Well, hopefully I don't, because I don't want him to be a Dolphin. But anyway, after Isaiah Simmons, and a lot of people have him projected to go fourth to the Giants. I still think they go offensive tackle, but they've got him. A lot of people in these mock drafts, he's the odds on favorite to go fourth, and that would be big to shove some of these offensive tackles down Miami's way. But you've also got two very highly rated prospects in this first round: linebacker Patrick Queen from LSU and Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma. Now, Patrick Queen is somebody that came out early. He's only 20 years old. He's not going to turn 21 until August, but somebody I've certainly fallen in love with over the last couple of weeks here, and watching his tape reminds me a lot of former Bill and Bengal Takiyo Spikes. He was the defensive MVP of the NCAA championship game in the Alabama game, where nobody could stop Tua or stop Joe Burrow in that game. Patrick Queen had a huge interception where he read Tua's eyes, and looks like somebody as a two-way linebacker could be the quarterback of your defense. He would take up the football intelligence level on your defense too. Would kind of remind me of when the Patriots drafted Gerard Mayo about a decade ago at that inside linebacker spot. And Kenneth Murray, Paul, I know you were high on a couple of months ago when we did our top 26 board. Is he still somebody that's on your radar if, say, he falls into that latter portion of first round?
He is. I mean, there's a couple of scenarios for him. For me, for either of these guys, and I'm going to lump the two of them together into one little brick as far as my draft board goes, and you'll get where I'm going with this. As it stands right now, my position of comfort with both of these guys is if they happen to be on the board when Miami picks 26, barring if they're going after a sliding Jordan Love or even a sliding Tua at that point in time, which is a lot more realistic possibility. I tried to tell y'all, you know, it's if either of them are available, I would find them very hard to pass up at 26. I don't want to use pick 18 for these guys. I really don't. I think the talent is there to justify it, but what I want to see Miami do as far as the draft goes, unless we see one of those scenarios that we saw in a few of our mock drafts, where there were a couple of times where the situation played out catastrophically at 18, where anybody and everybody that filled the need and was worth the pick was gone. And at that point in time, I would consider Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen, but my comfort level right now is probably for pick 26 for both of those guys.
Yeah, and a lot of people have Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray ranked 2A and 2B in this draft. And if you look again at that consensus board, they were, I do it based on a point system. And basically, I add up all of where they were ranked on an individual board, put them together, and they were separated by one spot. I think Queen was 275, Murray was 276, and the lower number wins in that. Anyway, they are very, very close, and so it'll be fascinating to see which player goes where. For me personally, I've got Queen closer to Isaiah Simmons than to Kenneth Murray in this type of defense. I love both as athletes, and I've talked about Queen, but Kenneth Murray is somebody that likely won't, for me, I don't see him being on the Dolphins draft board. And the reason for that is at Oklahoma, he was extremely raw in coverage. And PFF and the Draft Dudes podcast talked about this too, that he has very little experience playing with the ball over his head in pass defense. That can be a problem in a Brian Flores defense. But he's an incredibly talented player. Ran a 4.52 at 6'3", 241 pounds, 17 and a half tackles for loss last year. He reminds me a lot of Miles Jack of the Jaguars. And I think if you get him in that Cowboys or that Jaguars type of defense where he can just see the ball and get the ball, then I think he's a fantastic prospect.
Yeah, and that is something that could be interesting. I mean, I really like his ability to fly around the field. I really like the fact that you can kick him inside, kick him outside when it comes to Kenneth Murray. And I think that's something that Flores would have fun with. And really, Kenneth Murray is the same size as Isaiah Simmons, which Simmons is a big boy. I mean, Murray's, what, an inch shorter but a couple pounds heavier? So he's got a little bit more size to hold up at that point of attack if you put him in the middle. And then it lets you do some flexible things with Rake and Jerome Baker along that defense. And I'll tell you, like, either of these guys and a couple other guys we'll talk about are going to add some speed and flexibility at the linebacker position. And it's going to cause headaches when, you know, Miami throws out that walk around defense with, you know, 6-7 linebackers on the field, and you have no idea where they're lining up. Are they at safety? Are they on the line? Are they at linebacker? Are they left? Are they right? And you could really have some fun with it if you're a creative, intelligent defensive coordinator, which we've got two of those.
Yeah, and looking at these two guys, Queen and Kenneth Murray, when it comes to Queen, he's somebody I would take all day at 26. Murray, I would probably pass on still, but if you were there at 39, that'd be something I'd certainly look at. When I look at Queen, I tweeted this earlier, is that even though inside linebacker is not a need with Raekwon McMillan and Jerome Baker, who are 23 and 24, if you could in the first round get your quarterback, get your left tackle, and get the quarterback of your defense, man, that is a home run of a first round if you end up keeping all those picks. So, Paul, looking at the rest of the unit here, I mean, again, some really good depth at this off-ball linebacker spot. The question is, can you draft somebody who's really going to crack into that rotation with Raekwon Baker, Gruje Hill, and Landon Roberts, and who else ever might move inside? So to get somebody and to draft somebody here in the second, third, fourth round, they really have to be somebody who can move the needle. And I look at Willie Gay from Mississippi State, who's a very interesting guy, tremendous athlete and a mean football player, 6'1", 243 pounds, and plays like it. He also had 4.46 40 speed, and he had a better vertical jump and a better broad jump than Isaiah Simmons. So athletically, he's phenomenal. PFF has him as having elite coverage traits, one of the best coverage linebackers in the draft, too. The downside to that, he only had 6 starts at Mississippi State. He spent a lot of his time suspended. He's got some off-the-field problems. Word is that he cheated on a chemistry test. Don't really care about that. I did that in college, too. But also, he got into a locker room fight where he ended up punching the backup quarterback in the face before a game. And both of them ended up missing the game. So very high risk, very high reward. Somebody that may not be on the Dolphins draft board either, given those off-the-field problems.
Yeah, and there's a few other guys. I mean, Akeem Davis-Gaither from Appalachian State is a guy that I've been kind of high on throughout this process. Troy Dye is another one that it still surprises me that he's as low as he is, even though I'm pretty sure he had a little injury that kept him down that I don't think should have dropped him as far as he is on a lot of boards. I mean, he's got the size, he's got the speed and range to get there. Another guy that I struggle to understand, and I know he's all over the boards out there. I'm sure you saw this when you were putting together the consensus board for the show. Jordan Brooks, inside linebacker, Texas Tech. 6'1", 240. Guy runs a 4.5 40. You see people have him ranked anywhere from the 6th to the 5th round. And I think he's a guy that has better instincts than some folks think he does. But he is just a nightmare when he gets out there on defense. It's, yeah, I can't say enough good things if I watch his tape, and it surprises me to see him ranked that low on some people's boards.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Jordan Brooks. He is a heat-seeking missile when he comes up to play against the run. And I'd say, looking at that group you mentioned, Paul, and I'm glad you mentioned those three guys, and I'll add on another one too, is Jordan Brooks and Malik Harrison from Ohio State. They remind me a lot more of Raekwon McMillan. They're more that style, that really good two-down run defender who maybe can be on there in a pinch and third down, where Akeem Davis-Gaither and Troy Dye are more undersized and fit more of that Jerome Baker type of mold. But to go back what you said on Jordan Brooks, yeah, I mean, 6'1", 240, ran a 4.54. He plays with his hair on fire coming down against the run. And he had 20 tackles for loss with Texas Tech. I mean, this is somebody who, like you said, could go anywhere from really the second round to, early to mid day three. I mean, he does have that type of range, because some people are going to have him, are going to say, no, he doesn't have the instincts, and he also doesn't play to that 4.5/4.40 speed. But you're also going to have some people that say, no, we're going to limit his responsibilities, and we're going to have him play as a two-down run defender, and that's more going to justify a second or third round pick.
Yeah, and a couple of guys that dropped based on suspension as well, that I've liked throughout the process. Joe Bacci, who missed a decent amount of time from Michigan State. When he was out there, he was a tackling machine, and yeah, he took a band supplement. He didn't take anything too egregious, but he's a guy that could really kick in and affect folks out there in the field. Another one as well would be, sorry, I'm blanking on it. From LSU, Michael Divinity. He's a guy that kicked all over the field. He was kind of playing behind a few folks, but every time he got the opportunity, he was out there. He missed most of last year with a suspension, was able to get in the national championship game. And he really has a lot more talent than he got the opportunity to show, even though he's a step slow. So if you're able to grab a guy like that in the fourth round, that's a little bit of a project with a high upside, I can't knock it. And, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you should see three LSU linebackers drafted. Patrick Queen in the first round, Michael Divinity somewhere on day three, and Jacob Phillips also somewhere probably on day three as well. I watched him a little bit. He's fine. I there was just nothing that really popped for me. He was decent against the run, decent against the pass, decent athlete. I mean, not a whole heck of a lot there compared to these other guys. Logan Wilson from Wyoming, I would put in that tier as well, in kind of that late day two, early day three mix. He a comparison I really liked is a smaller version of Leighton Vander Esch, and I thought that was perfect. He's got very good instincts, and somebody I think you can draft in the third or fourth round, and he's going to end up being a plug and play starter for you, and that again more than justifies a third or fourth round pick. But going on the negative side a little bit too, Paul, there are a few tightly held beliefs I have with some of these positions and prospects. One of them is this: if a player runs slower than a 4.75, I want nothing to do with him. Because that means that he's not going to be on the field on third down. He's probably not going to be on the field on second down either. And listeners, I don't want anybody to give me a Zach Thomas comparison. Oh, what about him? Look, there's a reason you got to go back 25 years to get that type of comparison. But the players I'm taking off my board given that are Evan Weaver from California, Francis Bernard from Utah, and Shaq Quarterman from the University of Miami, Florida. So those three guys, I'm sorry, got to take them off my board, Paul.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why you and I do so well together is we do have a lot of similar opinions, but we also tend to look and analyze differently, which I like the way that gets to both of our viewpoints here. I do buy into the numbers. I really do. But I also buy into what my eyes see. And a player like Shaq Quarterman, I see play faster than the time he ran. I mean, there is a point in the process where your straight line running speed is a factor, but there's also a point in the process where your decision-making and instincts make up some of that time. And, you know, we've all seen it throughout the years. A guy that runs a 4.2 but can't make a decision worth a damn. So he's out there twiddling his thumbs and playing with his lip, you know, trying to figure out which way to run with all that speed. And then you've got a guy that reads blocks tremendously, reads the blocking scheme, knows where the ball's going in an instant. And by the time that 4.2 guy runs his happy, fast ass over there, you know, a guy like Quarterman's got the dude on the ground. And so you've almost got to take it on a case-by-case basis for me. And if you're grabbing a Shaq Quarterman in the fifth round, kick the tires, see if he can do that at the next level, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Miami's got 3 fifth-round picks. And for a guy that showed talent and instincts like Shaq did, I'll take it, especially somebody that's already familiar with that stadium.
Well, I've got good news. He actually ran a 4.74, so he barely fits back in there for me. No, I agree with you. He does play a little bit faster than that. I'm going to keep with my opinion on Evan Weaver and Francis Bernard. Francis Bernard ran a 4.81 and actually is 25 years old. So, and he punched a cop allegedly one time. So he certainly got a lot. He's gone. So Paul, let's see, anybody else here that really sticks out? I've got just a couple more here. Marcus Bailey from Purdue, 6 foot, 235 pounds, missed all of last season with a knee injury, but really could have been a second or third round pick. He's an intelligent, he's a nasty downhill type of linebacker. I could see him sticking on this roster, especially getting a role here in special teams. And Davion Taylor is a fascinating guy. I would call Davion Taylor from Colorado kind of like the poor man's Isaiah Simmons here. He's that linebacker / strong safety prospect. Has an interesting backstory where because of his family and for religious reasons, he only played one game of high school football because he couldn't play after dark. And he played that one game, played lights out. There was a scout there. He ended up going to the University of Colorado. And now we're talking about him as a third or fourth round draft pick. So he brings that speed and he might have some strong safety linebacker versatility there. So keep an eye out for him too. Clay Johnston from Baylor is somebody that I watched play. I loved his instincts on tape. So you don't see a lot of great defensive prospects coming from Baylor, but he's also somebody there in the later rounds that I'd possibly like. Anybody else stick out for you, Paul, that when you were looking, we've gone through quite a few players here.
I mean, I'll keep it brief on this. I mean, I've been a fan of Justin Sternad throughout the entire process. I know he missed a few tackles at times, but he's a big, solid player. And at the very least can contribute on special teams, which we know there's a lot of value placed in that by this coaching staff. Outside of that, one guy that really opened my eyes as we went through some of our mock draft prospects was Chris Orr out of Wisconsin. He is just a missile coming from that linebacker position. He can cover a little bit, but he really is at his best coming downhill, flying forward, hell-bent for leather, and he can cause some chaos. So maybe it's as a role player, but having a role player that can cause some chaos and fits in the backfield, I will take that. I think Flores can find a use for that. And, you know, I'm excited to see what happens if Miami's able to take a stab at this guy.
Yeah, I was shocked he wasn't invited to the combine. I mean, 6 foot, 223 pounds, so certainly undersized, but good football player. And yeah, when you're talking in the later rounds, I think you got him in the mock draft in the seventh round. Yeah, I think I'd sign up for that all day there. So Paul, we've talked about Isaiah Simmons. We take him at 18, no doubt about it. He's not going to last at that spot. We also talked about Patrick Queen. I would take him at 26. You would take him at 39. And then I think it's vice versa there on Kenneth Murray.
Let's go back there. Queen and Murray, I would take at 26.
Gotcha. Okay.
Both of them.
So you would do that. And then I'd take Kenneth Murray maybe at 39, maybe not. So he's somebody I'm a little bit further down on than other people. But let's go through a few of these other guys. And, you know, as our listeners probably know, the Dolphins draft 5th, 18th, and 26th in the first round. Then in the second round, they draft 39th and 56th. Third round, 70th. And the fourth round, they draft 141. And then to round out day three, they have 3 fifth rounders, a sixth rounder, and 3 seventh rounders. So I'll list off a name here, Paul, and you tell me what spot you would take them at under the or what spot you'd be comfortable taking them at for the Dolphins. Akeem Davis Gaither.
Third round.
Got it. I would go fourth round. Jordan Brooks.
The second pick of the second round.
Got it. So 56.
Yep.
Man, I could live with it at 70. Would prefer fourth round on that one, too. Troy Dye from Oregon.
God, he's one of those who I really have in that no man's land between their third and fourth round pick. I'll have to go fourth round for him, but fourth round.
Me too.
But close to that third rounder.
Malik Harrison from Ohio State.
I'm going to go fifth.
Gotcha. I'm going to go with fifth too. I'm not all that high on him. Logan Wilson from Wyoming.
Fifth round.
Got it. I'd go fourth. Willie Gay from Mississippi State, for me, I'll say that I think overall on my board, I've got him 45th. So I've got him very high. I'm really impressed by this guy. I would take him 56th, but I can't blame you if you don't because of his off-the-field problems.
Yeah, his off-the-field problems pretty much have him off the board for me right now.
Got it. Yeah, those are the big guys there. And then we've talked about a lot of these other sleepers here, Paul. So we've got one more segment on the defensive backs there, and then the NFL draft is going to be here. We've certainly grinded this out throughout the whole thing, and that's going to do it for our breakdown of the linebacker spot for the Miami Dolphins. You can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify. I'm Brian Catt, NFL on Twitter, and Paul is Fanatic_pick. Let us know what you think of these linebacker prospects as well. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the thin side. So, Solo D, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. Listen, Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what Brian Catt and Paul about to do again.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.